Amen. God is so... As I was praying, the Lord gave me... I'm a seer, so he gives me little glimpses. And so all of a sudden, I see this beautiful bride walking away. And she turned back over her shoulder, and she took her beautiful gown, and she picked it up to here. And she had on black army boots and a dagger strapped to her thigh. And she looked at me. Now, catch this. She looked at me and gave me a look, and she pulled it and, like, that's hidden. She pulled her skirt over and said, that's hidden. Wow. And then she raised her hand with a scepter, and she had a crown on her head. And God said, I said, teach me. And he said, there's two characteristics that I want you to learn. And he said, the character of Deborah, the warrior, and the character of Esther, the queen. Now, this is non-gender, because how many of you are sons of God?
Yes.
How many of you are the bride of Christ?
Yes.
I just want you to make a quick stand if you're the bride of Christ. Okay, you can be seated, but that was an acknowledgement, to stand and say, I am the bride of Christ. Now, the bride, let's go to Esther, was in a time of preparation. We are all in a season of preparation. You recognize that in your life, right? We are being prepared as the bride of Christ to come forth. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And there's a scripture, if my iPad doesn't lock up. There's a scripture in Revelations that says, oh, well, it's locking for me. Excuse me. It's the last in Revelations, and it says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. The Spirit has made herself ready. And that's what we're doing. We're making ourselves ready. So let's go first to Deborah. Yes, 22:17. Let's go first to Deborah. You know, Pastor Joe's name is Joanne Deborah, and my name is Deborah. And we've heard so much about Deborah in the season.
Yeah.
And Deborah, she was a lot of things, but her name means the bee. And I want you to get this point. The bee is very industrious, but it produces honey.
Right.
Honey.
Yeah.
Now, the producing and the industriousness is hunger. Hunger. We have to make ourselves hungry. As the deer panteth for the water and is hungry for the Lord. It's Psalms 42, 1 and 2. As the deer panteth, you have to pant. You have to go after God. You have to go after. You have to make yourself hungry. And like I mentioned quickly yesterday, to make yourself hungry, you eat the word. And as you eat it, you say, what people say, well, I just don't like to read. I don't like to read the Bible. I'm not into reading. You have to discipline your life to read. And as you read the word, you become more hungry. And the more you read, you become more hungry until there's this thirst inside of you for the word and the things of God and the presence of God. So Deborah stayed hungry. And I believe that's the reason I am where I am today, because I keep this hunger in me. I go after God. Not a day do I go that I don't study the word. I don't seek God's face. I go after God. Now, what else was Deborah? Deborah was a warrior. And in her warring, she was very disciplined. She was disciplined in her study, in her prayer life, right, in her physical man. Aren't warriors strong?
Yes.
Aren't warriors disciplined?
Yes.
And a warrior has to know the good things that make your body stronger. There's so many things a warrior must do. They must prepare themselves for battle. They must be ready. They must think strategically. A warrior must rise up in the time that they're needed. A warrior must be ready. A warrior is a watchman. So Deborah was a warrior. She was what?
A warrior.
She was hungry. She was a warrior. Deborah was a prophet. She knew how to get in God's presence and hear. She knew how to hear, but she knew how and when. It's very critical. When and how to speak on God's behalf. She was a prophet. Now Deborah was a mother. Every one of us, male or female, you nurture people under you, around you. I nurture my next door neighbor who's not a Christian, but I'm leading him to that point.
Right.
You, there's people all around you in every area of life that need to be mothered.
Right.
It's a characteristic of God, the mothering spirit. Deborah was a mother in Israel. She was a warrior. She was a mother. She was a prophet. And she was a judge. What is a judge? A judge rules with wisdom, so we must have wisdom. Where do we get wisdom? If you lack wisdom, ask.
Right.
Deborah was a judge, but when I had my second baby and I was sitting on the front row of the Cathedral of the Holy Spirit, 15,000 people, he was the youth pastor and I was the children's pastor. I was sitting there, and his uncle, the old prophet, we called him, it was my first Sunday after having the baby. I had her on Thursday, and he looked at me, and he stand up, and he said, "Your life will always be a judgment." And I, I'm 20-something years old, and I went right over my head. But God kept bringing that back to me. You are a standard for women. You are a standard for a wife. You are a standard for a pastor's wife. You are a standard as a mother. People will look at you, and they will judge themselves. So let your life be a judgment. Let your life be a standard. Let your life be what people look to and say, this is what I want to be like. This is what I want to be. Because we can't see God in the natural, so we see God in people. So rise up, Deborahs. It's the characteristic that I want you to hear. So Deborah's arise and be what God's called you to be. And then there is this wonderful woman, Esther, who she lost her home. She lost, evidently she was engaged. She lost her love. But Mordecai, her cousin, was the Holy Spirit symbolically to us. And she followed and obeyed the uncle, what we would say as our Holy Spirit. We would follow and obey. A little story, 6 months ago, God told us to move to Atlanta and take care of his parents. Well, prior to that, we're in Miami. We have a house on the lake and the pool and the kids and everything. Our life was perfect and comfortable. Comfortable. God likes to shake it up. He likes to keep you going. And so she had to move from her comfort zone into a life of discipline and routine and structure and process. For a year, 6 months, and 6 months, she was disciplined.
Right.
And that's how our life must be. We must have a disciplined life. She was fearless. She put her life on the line. She was fearless, and she was selfless.
Right.
But Esther was a woman, a person of influence. She influenced the king. The king. Do you ever, you know how Moses said, it was Abraham that said, "Can I talk to you about killing all of Sodom and Gomorrah? Can I talk to you? Can I negotiate? Can I influence you not to destroy a whole city? Can I influence you?" Do you realize, as the bride of Christ, we have influence. Can I influence you to get me a puppy?
No.
That was play. That was play. I'm playing. But we do have influence, great influence, as people of God, as the bride of Christ. He's saying that I use the pulpit. So Esther was a mighty woman of influence. Let's take that characteristic. Now we have the bride. Both of these women were very, very sensitive to the voice of God. Sensitive. That is the characteristic right now I want to say to you Take it home. Study it. Pray it into yourself. Sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Sensitivity to people. Sensitivity to the atmosphere. Sensitivity to your nation. Sensitivity. There must be a sensitivity in the bride. The bride must arise with sensitivity to move. He can walk in the house and I know if he's upset. He doesn't have to say a word. I'm sensitive to him. I know if he's hurt or worried or concerned because I'm sensitive. Right. And it doesn't happen overnight. You have to press in. Press into the Spirit. You get nothing in God that you don't go after. Right. Nothing in God that you don't go after. So let me just say to you, as the bride, we have to arise and come forth. Now, she was very sensitive, this bride. And her one assignment was what? Heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out demons. So we have to do that first to our vessel. Heal our sick emotions. Heal our sickness. Raise our deadness to life. Come alive. Brighten our countenance. Be who God's called us to be. Raise our deadness within ourselves. Raise ourselves up. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Be that to when you go out of your prayer closet, be the bride of Christ. Raise the dead, heal the sick, and cast out whatever's bothering you. Get clean. Get pure before the Lord. Get right. Without spot or wrinkle, the bride of Christ must arise. How can you deliver others if you're not delivered yourself? How can you raise the deadness in someone else if you're walking around dead? You have to be before you can do. You have to be before you can lead. Before you can lead. But you are leaders. This was a leadership conference as well. We are all leaders. We must know who we are. I had you to stand up as the bride because that's what we are.
Right.
We are the bride of Christ.
Right.
Now, let me just say to you that there is a counterfeit Deborah, and that's called Jezebel.
Yep.
Deborah did not manipulate. She did not manipulate or control, but Jezebel does. So check yourself. Jezebel wasn't. And I've come against men with Jezebels. It's not a gender thing. It's just in the Word of God. The characters are just to teach us patterns and principles. But what we are wanting is the character. To know the character, to know what to not have and what to have.
Right.
Esther did not control. She influenced.
Yes.
Now, this is very critical. She was in sync with what God's doing. Deborah was in sync. These two women in the Bible, these two persons, delivered God's people from total annihilation. These two women. Total annihilation. That's what you're called to do, is deliver a people from total annihilation with the characters of these two women, of these two persons. Now, Esther was such a woman of influence. She went to the king. She submitted to the Holy Spirit. She went to the king, and she submitted. She submitted, but she influenced him, and she cleared out the evil that was going to destroy her people. And God will show you. He will show you. And he begins in little things. What's in my family here? Is there rebellion? You know the story of Sheba?
Yeah.
You know the story of Sheba? Yeah. And the wise woman?
Right.
The wise woman goes in, and the army of the Lord, Joab, is coming. David said, go and kill Sheba because he's planting rebellion everywhere in the hearts of God's people. And so Joab goes in, and then he runs into a walled city for protection. And everybody goes, oh, no, we're going to die. That's what the world is saying. Oh, there's no hope, right?
Right.
The world's saying, there's no hope. Oh, no, look at this enemy that's coming. There's no hope. But she arose, a wise woman, didn't even tell her name. And she said, there's another way, God's way. There's a third option. There's always a third option. There's always another option. For some reason, you're supposed to grab that. There's another option. There is another option. And the option was to do it God's way. And she went over the walled city and she said, Joab, captain of the Lord's army, if we will give you Sheba, will you back off and not kill the host, everybody in the city? And he goes, of course. I don't want to kill the people. And so she went. She rose up with a few other people and cut his head off and lobbed it over the wall. That's what we have to do in our home. That's what we have to do in every situation of our life. Ask God to show you what is the enemy and what is in the way of God's purposes being fulfilled. God has a plan. God has a strategy. And you must rise up and become. Now, when I was very young, God told me, seek my face and I'll show you your husband. And I was like, out riding horses and playing and not really interested. I think it was 13 or 14. And I was seeking God. My mother was doing it with me. She said, I want you to pray. I want you to pray. There's four girls about your mates. She said, because the worst thing you can do in this life is get the wrong mate. She said, the most important thing is receiving Jesus Christ, and the second is the mate that you travel through life with. And so she got us all four little girls, and we're praying for a mate. You know, I'm just going, oh, God, I would rather go ride my horse. But anyway, I was praying. I was 14, and one Sunday, I'm sitting in the back of the church, and this guest family come, and the skinny little guy, big, tall, skinny guy's playing the guitar and playing the trumpet and singing. And I went, oh, well, he's kind of cute, but nothing else. And then all of a sudden, the presence of God just rushed over me, and I went blind. And I had this little funnel vision right on his face. And three times the voice of the Lord said, that is your husband. That is your husband. That is your husband. And I never saw him again for a year. I really didn't even know his name because it was a guest family. And a year later, yes, 300 miles apart. A year later, I'm at my grandmother's church and it happens again. And that day my sister met him. And then anyway, the story goes on. As you can see, we're married. It's a long, detailed story. But my point is, if you seek God, you'll get strategy. If you seek God, you'll get answers. If you seek God. So the bride must rise up. When I was 16, I'm telling you this because God gave me the wisdom and the influence as a child because I sought him. We moved when I was 15 to a new church, Florida, from Tennessee, and I didn't know anyone in the school. And the first day at lunch, I was sitting there, and God said, go talk to this girl over there. Her name was Rose Nakutis from Lithuania, and she was just moved into the country. And I led her to Jesus that day, and the next day she said, I want to do what you did. Will you teach me how to lead somebody to Jesus? And her and I, every day, took one person, and I led a movement as a junior in high school. 200 that first year came to Jesus. But what God was doing was he was preparing me. We had the largest youth ministry in America in 1976. You probably weren't born yet, but 1976 to 1986, 25,000 teenagers. Now, I say that God prepared me early. With the spirit of influence, we must have sensitivity and, like Esther, influence. Now, what is the bride's assignment? Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. We must win the lost at any cost. Who are we, if everybody in the sanctuary is healed, who are we going to heal? The bride wants to win the lost. She wants to save her nation. Yes. Esther saved her nation. Deborah saved her people from total annihilation. Yes. I want it to be real sweet and imparative and love on you, because that's my nature. But God said he wants of you a penitent heart.
Wow.
If you feel that you have been a bit slack, I just want you to stand. I'm going to pray over you. If you feel that you have not been witnessing and being the testimony of Jesus Christ, if you feel that you've not been sensitive to hear his voice, if you feel that you have come short, that you've not been hungry, you've not sought after God, if you feel that you want to be, that you were born for more, if you feel you were born for more, and you just, you know, the closest way to God, does anybody know that? Repent. You're in his face. It's so easy. It's so easy. Let's just close our eyes and open our hearts. Father God, we love you with a passion. We are so hungry for more of you. Please, Father, forgive me. Say that in your heart. You can say it out loud. Please, Father, forgive me. Cleanse my heart and mind. Give me the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ to do your will. I step in to my role as your bride. I want to be what you want me to be. I want to please you. I want to be your desire. I want to do what you've called me to do. Now put your hands on your heart. Father, I seal these words. Father, I commission them that they will not let a day go by. Not one day that they don't open their mouth and tell someone of the goodness of God. Tell their neighbors, tell their friends, tell their families. Win the lost. Go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. God wants you. God desires you to stand up this day and be his voice. Put your hands on your lips and say, use these lips. Use these lips, oh God. Use these lips. Thank you, Father. I seal this word. I seal these hearts. Father, I pray that you quicken this word within them. Quicken it. Wake them up in the night hours. Wake them up, Father, to seek your face, to remind them to read the word. Remind them, Father. Remind them, Holy Spirit, to come, oh God, when you call, to come, to rise up, to come into the house of the Lord, to not be remiss when the things of God are happening in this house, that they would come and be attentive and learn and glean from you, oh God. I thank you for this people. I cover this people in the blood of Jesus. I thank you that they are a mighty people. I thank you for every life, every single one of them in the army of the living God. I cover them in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.